భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ
ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ
ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ Today we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 4, which verse is written on the book?
28.
Verse 28. Translation by Pramantrapada, Mr. Andre Shah, he's called the name of the Sri Prabhupada, all the Pachamayas. Shri Shuka Uvacha,
Shri Shuka Uvacha,
Kamsa evam prasannabhyam,
Kamsa evam prasannabhyam,
Vishuddham pratibhashita,
Vishuddham pratibhashita,
Devaki vasudevabhyam,
Devaki vasudevabhyam,
Anugyato vishadgriham,
Anugyato vishadgriham.
Next verse. Tatsyam ratram vyatitayam kamsa ahu yamantranaha tebya achashta tatsarvam yaduktam yoga nidraya. At this juncture, King Kamsa is apparently acting like a good gentleman. He's very courteously behaving with Vasudev and Devaki. He even, Anugyato Vishadgriham, even takes permission before returning to his own home or palace. That is a fine point of Vedic culture, that before leaving a person's company, before leaving somewhere else, especially if that person is respected by you, to take their permission. It may be a formality, but the idea is there. It's giving respect to those who are senior of my respect, to take their permission before leaving and going away. So Kamsa is behaving in a very decent, civilized, moral, nice way with Vasudev and Devaki, unlike his previous behavior, which was wanting to kill Devaki, then not killing Devaki, he killed her sons, one after the other. But now he's very satisfied with the behavior of Devaki. He's acting in a very polite, civilized, and respectful manner. Now he's going to go and meet his ministers and take the advice from them. He's going to expand his infanticide means killing of children. He's going to expand his infanticide to not only the children of David, it's pretty bad killing your children and nephews. But now he's going to extend it to all the only children who have been born recently within the whole area because of the oracle that he heard that the child who is to kill you has been born somewhere else. So he said, well, the child to be born is, the child who is to kill him has been born somewhere else. His ministers advised him, that you'll see in the next few verses, that better kill all the children, then you'll be free. Of course, it's so foolish, they don't think that. Well, if the voice, the oracle, is true, not this time oracle, this time the Devi. First it was the oracle that said the eighth child of Devaki will kill you. Now this time it's Devi, Durga herself, who is saying the child who is to kill you is born elsewhere. Now if they accept that what she says is true, that the child clearly is born elsewhere. If they accept that he's born elsewhere, then he should also accept that it's true that he'll kill you. So it's not possible to upset the condition. If one thing is true, the child is born, then it's also true, he's going to kill you. Kill the children. You can't get away from this divine instruction. There are many instances of this. Trying to, or when some prophecy is given or curse is given, to try to overcome that. There are many instances, just like the sages cursed Samba, this child you have in your womb, you're pretending is a child in your womb. You know the story how he wanted to fool around with the sadhus. He wanted to make some jokes with the rishis. So he dressed as a young woman, pregnant, and actually had some steel with a form. He was holding it and said, "Well, will this be a male or a female?" As if to show that, well, the sages are all fools. And so if they say either male or female, then the young men of the Yadu dynasty will just, whatever they say, they'll just fall around laughing, because it's just a number line. But they weren't such fools as they thought, and they said, "You fool! You want to make us into fools? You are a fool! This which is you're holding in your stomach, that will be the cause of destruction for the whole Yadu dynasty." So then they went to Rupa Singh. Oh, yes, they were not foolish. We are foolish. We can understand that we're trying to fool them. So now what should we do? So Rupa Singh ordered you violate this steel line into tiny pieces. So tiny pieces of iron. That's not likely to kill anyone. That would somehow go with the iron pieces, the tiny steel pieces, they rushed into the shore. Just you'll see where there's just a low sea near the beach. If there's not much current there, then sometimes reeds grow, just as in fresh water. So the steel, the iron mixed with the those reeds that were growing, they became heavy iron, just like steel walls. So that became the cause of the destruction of the Yadu dynasty. One of the causes, the instrumental cause. The ultimate cause was Krishna's desire. Another cause was the anger of the Yadus. There were always many causes for any effect. There was many causes. The instrumental cause was the steel rods or reeds that were used by the members of the Yadu dynasty to smash each other's brains to pieces. So like this, there are many, many instances. We also know the birth of Pradyumna. There was one demon, Shambhara, who was told that his child will kill you. So immediately after the birth of the child, to live in your life, he took the child, threw in the sea. What hope is there of a little child surviving in the great sea? For Pradyumna, the little baby was eaten by a fish. The fish was caught. And when you have to, it's called in English, to dress a fish, I don't know what it's called, that it means to cut it up, and cut out the intestines where the stool is and all this kind of thing before you cook it. So when they were dressing this fish, they cut open the stomach and so on. The big fish, the little baby is. Oh, what a nice baby. So the baby grew up very quickly and then he killed that demon. He couldn't escape his fate. So you can't escape. Come and say, "Mr. Sweet." He thinks he's very intelligent. But here, the verse is given, present verse. Huh? Durga Devi Sarva Bhuteshu Nidharupena Samastita. That Devi, or Maya, is the very powerful personality who keeps everyone as if sleeping.
Kamsa was very intelligent. You don't become a big, powerful king unless you're intelligent. You have to be strong, and you have to be intelligent. But sometimes people underestimate the intellectuals, they have this tendency to underestimate the intelligence of powerful politicians and powerful leaders, because it's a different kind of intelligence. Intellectual intelligence is one kind of intelligence, but the intelligence required to dominate a country or take over a country, it's a different kind of intelligence. Just like Stalin, all the intellectuals in the Communist Party at that time, they thought he's just a buffoon. He wasn't at all an intellectual person. They thought this person is just a buffoon. But actually he was very intelligent. Not intellectually, but he was very intelligent how to manipulate, how to set one person against him. He was an expert politician. So he very intelligently took over, killed all the intellectuals, and took power. So comes to have that kind of intelligence that is required to dominate others. Demoniac intelligence. Even that intelligence is not necessarily demoniac. It can be king's power that can be used in a very good way also. We don't see that in the world at the present time. But kings like Yudhishthira also very intelligent in managing the state, dominating others. In the modern age, people don't like to be dominated by others, because domination means exploitation in the modern age. But in a state where the king actually acts as a king should for the benefit of others, then people are very happy to be dominated by such a king. They like it. They feel protected. That is a normal situation in a state, not in the present age, completely chaotic, you know, who's in charge today is not in charge tomorrow. Whoever's in charge, who to vote for, who's going to be the least of all evils, who's going to be the least bad of all of them. We can't expect any leader is going to do any good for us, but who's going to cause us the least harm. Well, Kamsa didn't have any such scruples in doing good to the people. He thought, we should do good to myself, I should be the king. I will kick out all the demigods and support the demigods. I will be in charge. So he's very intelligent. In politics, they're different. Activity who's very intelligent in politics, they know when to make alliances with others, when to smash others. That's why you'll find sometimes that even people who are completely opposed to each other in politics, sometimes they come together and make alliances because they have a common enemy. There's very strange things going on in the Indian political situation. It's yet again time for another Indian general election. And we find groups that they're ideologically absolutely opposed to each other, but they come together because they don't want another party in power. So they say, they make some excuse that, well, actually they're not so bad. But the main thing is it's all shuffling. At the present time, we'll make this compromise with the aim of eventually, when we get stronger, these enemies who we've made an alliance with, eventually we want to smash, they're both thinking like this, eventually we'll smash them and we'll take power. Everyone's thinking, this is politics. So Kamsa was very expert in this. He made alliances with kings like Jarasandha, Shishupal, and other people of the same mentality. And especially he was interested to crush and destroy members of the Yadu dynasty, Pandava, Vishnu, Bhuja, all these related dynasties who were godly by nature. So he was very intelligent, but his intelligence was limited. He was under the influence of Durga or Maya, by which Even very intelligent people make very silly mistakes. They make miscalculations. So here, that he made the miscalculation of thinking that I will kill all the children in Israel and I'll be free. But he can't be free from the teaching of from what has been said by Durga. Another thing he might have considered is that previously there was an oracle which said that the eighth child of Devaki will kill you. And now apparently that oracle was wrong. So he didn't consider that, well, maybe Durga, who spoke to him, that the child born to kill you, the child who will kill you is born somewhere else. He didn't consider, well, maybe that's wrong also. He didn't consider that. So he's very intelligent, but the nature of Maya is to cover the intelligence. That's called, this kind of demon is called Maya Aparita Jnana. And even though they're knowledgeable and intelligent, some crucial points of their intelligence are covered over. As Prabhupada often noticed with astonishment, Prabhupada never ceased to be amazed that even though people are so, you see this, so much education in the modern age and very highly intelligent people, but they make silly mistakes in their understanding. The example Prabhupada gave of Professor Kotovsky, a highly intelligent person, no doubt. But in the matter of spiritual knowledge, he made the basic mistake of thinking that when the body is finished, everything is finished. So that his spiritually, he had absolutely zero knowledge. It wasn't possible for him to have spiritual knowledge because he denied the very existence of spirit by making a very basic miscalculation that when the body is finished, everything is finished. Yeah, so is the whole field of spiritual knowledge is completely closed to him. Even though on the material platform he's very intelligent, but spiritually, fool number one. And we see that in South India, there are many people who are highly intelligent scientists, government research scientists, physicists. But there are many of them who believe that Sai Baba, so-called Satya Sai Baba, is God. Now on one side they're very intelligent, but on the other side they're ridiculously foolish. If you at all investigate into what is the meaning of God, then immediately you have to conclude that whoever God may or may not be, Satya Sai Baba is definitely not God. But due to their spiritual intelligence being covered by illusion, spiritually they are asleep. They don't know what is the truth. So Kamsa was in that category. He was a demon. Therefore he was inclined to demoniac and atheistic views. Therefore he couldn't understand that. Anyway, why am I going to be killed? Because I'm a demon. If I stop being a demon, then maybe I won't be killed. Instead of thinking to kill all the children, then I'll be safe, he thought, he could have thought, well, I'll stop being a demon. I can also rule the country in a non-demoniac manner. You can still enjoy, if you want to be a big king with honor and respect and wealth and sense of enjoyment, you can do it. You don't have to crush the people to do so. If you maintain the people very nicely, you can still live very happily, much more securely. Because if you rule in a demoniac manner, there's more likelihood that they'll want to overthrow you. And if you keep alliances with other demons, then being demons like you, they may be very friendly with you, but they're always thinking how to shoot you in the back or stab you in the back and take your position. So it's a very dangerous position. To be a demon is very dangerous, either materially or spiritually. Because materially, you're always in competition with others, you're always trying to exploit them and you're always trying to crush them. So you can expect that when you're living in association with demoniac people, then you can expect that because they're demoniac, that they'll always try to overthrow you. They may kowtow to you out of fear only. But the other side of the fear is anger to overcome you. So even materially it's very dangerous, and spiritually it's a disaster, because you lose the idea of what the purpose of human life is, and you have to suffer. Horrendous karmic reactions. So in all ways, to be a demon, it's not a very good proposition. Even if you want to enjoy this world materially, you can do so. You'll do so in a much better way by being pious. You live a pious life, then you can have nice, good karma. Whereas if you live an impious life, you may by force take some position of authority, or you may by force take the opulence of others, but you won't be able to enjoy it. As a demon, by your nature, chintana premayamcha, the demons, they are always full of anxiety. That is constitutional for the demon, he's always full of anxiety. Because he is, in Gita Krishna says, na shochati, na kamchati. One should not hanker or lament, but the demon is always hankering and lamenting. He's always in anxiety. Someone will take away from me what I have. So a demon cannot be happy, constitutionally. Even if he has so many things to enjoy that he can't enjoy. And as a result of his simple activities, all those things will be taken away from him, and he will suffer simple reactions. But if you live pious life, then if your aim is to enjoy this material world, you can do so by living a pious life, and nature will reciprocate. So many nice things will be produced. You can live very peacefully and happily without anxiety. At least relatively without anxiety. This material world is always full of anxiety. And you can go on enjoying, because by living a pious life, you can go to the heavenly planets. Of course, this material world is such that there's all, and however pious you are, there's always some inbuilt defect. Just like Rigga Maharaj was so pious, but by some bad luck, that means bad karma, he ended up getting a hellish body. So even pious life is not recommended, because any kind of existence in this material world means there must be suffering. It's the very nature of this material world. It's suffering. The nature of this world is dukkha, full of suffering. And even if you think you're happy, you'll be wrenched out of that situation. You'll be thrown out. You can't. I'm very happy. My home, my wife, my children, everything. Kicked out. Get out. Now you become a dog or a block. You can't stay in that situation. So the material world is by nature miserable. But even if you have a desire to enjoy it, then let it do so in a pious way. You'll enjoy more. But the demons, they can't see that, because they're very much covered by ignorance. By Durga Devi, who keeps them asleep. They can't see what is for their benefit. That's also true of the pious people. They can't see what is for their ultimate benefit. Unless you come to Krishna consciousness, that is the only real benefit. But those who are pious, at least they're somewhat in a better position than the demons. The demons are very deeply covered by illusion. Therefore, whatever they do always acts against their self-interest. What they think is in their self-interest is not in their self-interest, because they do not understand the subtle laws of nature by which for every action there is a reaction. Without understanding this, you can't actually act in your own self-interest. You're always acting against your own self-interest. What the demons think is in their own self-interest inevitably comes to be against their own self-interest. Either on the karmic platform immediately, either on the karmic platform, you have to suffer simple reactions, or even in a more gross way, you can see that the scientists, they produce many things to exploit nature, but it always acts in such a way that it causes more problem than the problem it's meant to solve. It's always, you make some drug which is supposed to cure some disease, but the drug itself makes a worse disease than the drug, than the condition it was supposed to cure. What did the pharmacist say about that? It's very good to make all these different drugs. They make tests on rats, poor rats, and then they're making more simple the action they're doing that. They're testing on rats and monkeys, and, but inevitably the drug causes more problems. Therefore they're always trying to make new drugs. Their activities are in darkness because they don't understand the laws of nature. Therefore the Vedic culture that gives us everything also gives us medicine. Now you can have medicine which will give you medical effect without the side effects. Side effects are there in Ayurvedic medicine also. Maybe it would say this kind of medicine should not be given. This will increase pitta, for instance. So a person with a high pitta condition shouldn't take this. They should take it in combination with another drug, means natural drug. So the Vedic science gives us that. It's not based on experimentation. It's based on knowledge of how the universe works. Therefore, the pious person should follow the Vedic directions. Whereas an impious person thinks that his whole attitude is different. He doesn't want to take higher knowledge. But he thinks that by my own strength, or in the case of demoniac scholar, by my own intelligence, I will understand what is it. But the ultimate result is it's a disaster. But they can't see this because they're demoniac. Kamsa can't see that his activities will simply result in distress for himself. And that all his plans will ultimately be undone. He can't see this because he's in the sleeping darkness of Maya. So similarly in modern society, we have so many plans, so many adjustments, to build new roads, and make new drugs, and make more scientific research. They don't see that it's all doomed to give them distress upon distress upon distress. You can't see this. There's some problem, therefore we should try to solve it by our own means. But they don't see that they've been doing this for so many years, and simply they're making a net of, they're becoming more entangled in a net of illusion. Maya Jala is described in Bhagavad Gita. Demons, Maya Jala Samadhita. They are covered by a net of a network of illusion. They cannot understand what's going wrong. What's wrong? The children now, it's like become a common pastime in America. The children pull out a machine gun and kill so many people. So America's leading the world. Whatever happens in America will come everywhere else. It's coming from here too. You can be sure. Because everyone follows America. Good or bad, mostly bad. So they're analyzing what to do. We should have some psychological analysis of the children. Maybe give them more sweets or something. Make them nice. But they don't see the whole society. This is a result of your sense gratification society. Everything you do, the whole way society is set up from top to bottom is wrong. President Clinton is telling
Hollywood movie, you are the ones who are wrong because you make all these movies showing murders.
So that may be a factor. But there are so many factors. Children, they come home, there's no mother at home because she's out working. So you come home, there's no love, there's no food, there's no mother to give you food, to welcome you home. Just you take something out of the freezer, stick it in the microwave, watch TV, take some drugs that you go out of school. And it's not a joke. This is not a joke. This is what we're not, These kids are crazy. They've never had motherly affection, practically, because their mothers are either at work, or when they come home, they go to some party.
And children are a nuisance.
So what do you expect? The children, they're shooting away, they're crying inside. The whole time, because they want women to go in the workforce, they should all work and produce more things. The whole society is sick. Absolutely sick. Right from the car. So what are you going to do? President Clinton is going to,
make a few, this is very bad.
Do you think that's going to stop? President Clinton.
I am very concerned.
You think someone is pulling out a machine gun? Oh, President Clinton is very concerned.
I shouldn't do this.
Yeah, all society is sick. They don't want to address this. The whole society is based on gross sense gratification. They don't know how a human society should be lived. Therefore, now they're getting the results more and more and more. That before they thought, well, you know, there are kids shooting others, well, you know, that's the blacks. You know, what do you expect? It's the blacks. You know, they all live in their own area, Harlem and whites. So, you know, let them shoot each other, we don't care. Blacks shoot a few blacks, what they have. But these are white children from middle class backgrounds whose parents are respectable people. And they are killing like this. Oh. What went wrong? Don't know. Anyway, you have to rush off to a party. No time to think what is wrong. So it will go on. It's very bad. They don't have any solution. It will go on. Just like they thought, it's very bad. So many children are taking drugs. Now it's going on. It's just become an accepted part of life in America. It was very bad. Not America, the whole world. It's very bad and we don't like it. But it will just become part of life. Kids taking drugs. It's a normal thing. So, from time to time, kids pulling out machine guns and shooting others, it'll just become, you know, it's just a normal part of life in America. What can you do? The whole society is demoniac. So, if people behave like demons, what do you expect? They think there's no God in control. And simply lust is the all in all. Society is based on lust. Promote lust, promote greed. And no even basic family values now, not even speaking of the spiritual side, but even materially, they don't know how to live. So what do you expect? This will go on? Demoniac society. Everyone knows there's something wrong, but they don't want to face up to the fact that society has no spiritual dimension because religion is compromised. The religious leaders also want to live a life of sense gratification. They're compromised. Religion is not giving any spiritual message to society. It's supporting the same demoniac society. So what can you expect from religion? And change is required. Complete change. Change in consciousness. The whole society is sick from top to bottom inside them. They don't want to accept this because they want to go on sense gratification. They may be sick, but I like it. They're eating vomit. Maybe vomit, but I like it. It's injecting yourself with drugs. Soft drinks, also carcinogenic. There isn't. The air you breathe is poisonous, but they don't care because we're enjoying health. Because we can get some instant kick out of some intoxication or sex and whatever. Enjoy. Without thinking of the consequences. It's just like a child. Child thinks, let me enjoy without care. Never mind the result is a disaster.
The Krishna conscious movement is meant to waken people up. What you consider reality is illusory. Real life means spiritual life. And even if you take this material life to be reality, how you are making a hellish situation for yourself by acting impiously. At the very least, people who should preach, at the very least, act piously. Don't slaughter animals. Don't take intoxication. You're making simple reactions for yourself. At least this much you should understand. But people, because they want to be demonic, they want to be in ignorance, they can't understand them. It's not consequent of his life. He could have reformed his life. For a little time, he's acting very politely with Devaki and Vasudev. But as soon as his demoniac ministers come, let's kill all the babies. Yeah, let's do it. Demoniac to strike his intelligence. He cannot understand what is best for him. So it's difficult to wake up. Especially the leaders of society are very demonic. But there are many people who are somewhat thoughtful. If you say these things, if you discuss, they can understand. Just, you said 2 days ago, I was preaching in the London, in the questions and answers. I was saying to all the people gathered there that this whole society is simply cheating you from the time of your birth. The education system is just to make you a pawn in a whole system for cheating you. They're advertising, buy this, buy that. Who would anyone ever buy Coca-Cola if it was not advertised? Of course, it's only they're selling it on some phantasmagorial idea that by drinking Coca-Cola you'll be happy, which is a bluff. It's of no value whatsoever. It's just junk, a bunch of chemicals. But it's a multi-billion-dollar industry. That's exactly that's symbolic of the whole society. That they're just giving you junk and making you work hard to buy all varieties of junk. So they're cheating you in the education system, TV, newspapers. They're all simply cheating you. Leaders should teach you spiritual knowledge. And everyone agreed, no one disagreed. There are so many people that were just off the street. They could all understand. But yes, all society is cheating. It's not very difficult to understand. Oh, one man said, well, but I like to drink alcohol. That is your foolishness. I said, it's your foolishness. It doesn't do any good to you. Simply poisons. You have to spend hard and long. The people, it's not a very difficult thing to understand. We can say these things. We should say these things. Krishna conscious movement is not meant for some sentimental preaching. Of course, people are looking for something sweet. Modern life is bitter, hard. So, Krishna conscious is very sweet. We should also point out how you're being misled. We should point that out. Many people will be willing to listen. We should point out, Prabhupada said our Krishna conscious movement is a challenge to the modern aesthetic civilization. Krishna was a challenge to counsel. No one could challenge counsel. He thought, I'm in control. See, Vishnu is hiding in everyone's heart. She was just meditating under a tree somewhere. And Brahma, he's sitting on a lotus at the top of the universe. They're not going to interfere. As far as the other demigods, Indra is just like a fly. So what to speak of the rest of them? I am in charge. No one can upset me. But he did not calculate Krishna. Just like Putana. When she saw Krishna, she saw a little baby. Little baby means harmless. But she could see that he was like a fire covered with ashes. Potency is there. Potency of fire. It's too strong. If it
Sometimes the fire is there, but the ashes you can't see. It looks like just ashes. Within the ashes there's fire. The fire can again flare up. So Putana saw Krishna like fire covered with ashes, looking like a little baby, but extremely powerful. So Prabhupada identified that this Krishna conscious human is not different from Krishna. It may seem to be just a few people singing, but this woman has got the potency to destroy the demonic of society. It should be, just like Krishna destroyed cancer. What is the best thing to do in this society? To destroy it. It doesn't mean I want to bomb, just like the NATO forces just bomb Serbia. It's not a solution. Not destroying in that way, but by destroying the demoniac ideas by which people are destroying themselves. The whole society, the whole modern society is run not by government. It doesn't matter which government comes. This government, that government, this voting, it's all a farce. Because the world is controlled by multinational corporations who, they're not under any government. Big corporations, Coca-Cola, IBM, Xerox company, big companies who, they control the government. Businessmen, they tell the politicians what to do. But no, just recently, having our Rath Yatra festival in central London, so they only wanted to give permission for the parade, and then they didn't want to have permission that at Trafalgar Square we'd have a bookstore, questions and answers store. They didn't want to give permission for prasad and free prasad distribution. All these things. No. So then our devotees contacted one man, he comes to our temple every day. He's one of the biggest businessmen in England. So he said, can you do anything? Yes. And just tell me what? And so he spoke to the chief of police, and immediately the chief of police had to say, okay, to all the conditions. They have to do what, in this case it was good. But the point is, the so-called leaders of democracy, they have to do what the businessmen said. They get money from them for running their political parties and getting their votes. If the businessmen don't support them, then they'll support the other party. Actually, they support all the parties. Whoever's in power, they are in the pocket of the businessmen. Because they give donations to all the parties. They can't live without them. And the media is controlled. Even in the West, they talk about free press and so on. Just like there's one, this Alexander Solzhenitsyn, he came from Russia. He was supposed to be a great hero because he was speaking out against the communist system. He came to America and gave addresses at Harvard University and said that, to paraphrase, he said that the Russians, they are slaves. That was the communist. The Americans, they're also slaves. The only difference is the Russians, they know it, the Americans don't know it. So before that, he was a great hero. See, he's speaking again after that. He no longer popular, no longer the press is promoting him. Because he's speaking the truth. But they don't like to hear this. The truth is, the truth according to President of Coca-Cola Corporation. What is the truth? Coke is the real thing. This is the truth. What is the ultimate of truth? Coca-Cola. They don't know what you think. They don't want people to know what is the truth. They think that we're living in a very sophisticated society. Who are the great leaders of society? Football stars. It's all fantasy. It's all meaningless. Some cinema stars. What is this? Cinema means you're watching some fantasy. Some drama means fantasy. Modern drama should be Leela of the Love. That's what drama should be. But instead they have some fantasy, some made up story. So they're just keeping people in a big illusion world. See, I see the advertisements here for Pepsi. They have some British football stars. What does it matter? Just what does it matter whether someone kicks a ball here in Croatia or when they kick it in England? But it's considered wrong. Very important. Those people there, they earn millions, millions of dollars or pounds or kuna or whatever you want. Not kuna. They're earning so much money for something which is nothing of, it's no significance, no importance whatsoever. But in modern society, the sport has become something very important because it nidra rupena samastita. It keeps everyone in the illusion. The big illusion. So if you'd be happy by watching the sports, you can go home and watch TV and there's the tennis championships and after that there's the football championships and after that there's, I don't know, there's only one, there's only golf championships. And it just creates a big syndrome. But it's all meaningless. In the meantime, society is going up. People are not the demoniac in one. Don't think. Or if you want to think, you should think in the way we want you to think. Just like all the academics at universities, they're giving theories and this and that. But they can only give theories that are within the systems. However, if you say something outside, then your academic theories, your academic career is finished. Then this Dhruta Karma and Prabhu especially has been promoting this hidden history of the human race and showing that these archaeologists, you know all this, how the archaeologists, they discover by bona fide scientific means that civilized, organized, intelligent human life on Earth has been going on for millions of years. So what is the result of this? They get a Nobel Prize? No, they lose their job. Because it goes against the theory that civilized man is just something new. It just came up. The civilization began in Britain and went to America and now we're civilized. The kids are shooting each other. They don't want to recognize that, that ancient civilizations and so much knowledge and so much advancement. They just want to think everything evolved recently and the perfection of evolution is to be white, American, Anglo-Saxon background, Protestant, to have a suit and tie and a good job, decent job. And your children take drugs and shoot each other. Well, that's just an unfortunate side effect. Otherwise, this is the perfection of civilized, of evolution. We finally, we first of all, we were just chemicals, then we became cells, then we became monkeys, and then we became savages, and now we are civilized Americans. The ultimate point of chemical interaction. Perfection of evolution. So they don't want to accept. But actually there's an undercurrent in Western intellectual society of many, many people who know that it's all bogus, what they teach us. On the internet there are all kinds of things like that. Intelligent people who and very intelligently they're discussing all kinds of things like, a lot of it's wacko, but things like UFOs, knowledge from ancient civilizations, so many Bermuda Triangle, unexplained phenomena. There are a lot of people out there, intelligent people, who know that the establishment is covering up all kinds of information. They know, everybody knows that the American Air Force knows there are UFOs. And everybody knows that we all know that you know. But still, officially, it's just every UFO that ever existed was a reflection of an airplane or so many things. There are dinosaurs still. Prabhupada, when they asked Prabhupada how dinosaurs be, said they're extinct. So they're not extinct. And now they are finding dinosaur. Dinosaur. So that now they're discovering. There are photos on the internet of dinosaurs. Photographs. Cameras evolved later than the extinction date of dinosaurs. But they have them. Of course, establishment science doesn't recognize it. There's a lot of interest in this. That's why, actually there's true, you know, sometimes we hear our movement is doing so badly in America, there's a lot of interest. Among, especially among young people. Just recently at this, they had another Woodstock, just a few days ago. So the report, did you see that on Compound? The devotees came from all over America with bags full of books. Before the end of the festival, they finished them all. The first day, one devotee did more than 300 big books. The young people in America, I mean, that means like, who goes to rock concerts that meets from a more intelligent or intellectual class? They want these books. They think there's something valuable here. People know. Our movement, people say they don't. Have you heard many people say we don't like organized religion? Do they say that here? We don't like organized religion. Well, that's our problem, but we're not. They think we're organized religion, but our main problem is we're so disorganized. otherwise, there's tremendous potential for preaching, making devotees, distributing books, tremendous potential. In the Western world, people, they know that the whole similar. I mean, they may not know, but just under their skin, they sense it. But the whole society stinks. It's rotten. Completely rotten. That we need spiritual alternative. And they know, people know that Krishna consciousness, there's something substantial there. If we can get our act together, we can kick out this conscious society. Of course, organization, we don't want this kind of corporate management and all this kind of thing. But at least, devotees, we should see what is the need of the hour that the whole society is sick and people, so many people, they want Krishna consciousness. It's the duty of devotees to come together, put aside whatever petty differences we have, to work together, to spread this movement. Make people, devotees, get them chanting, reading the books. Bring them to Krishna consciousness. And keep on this push. Don't think, well, now we preach for so many years, now we should all become Babajans. We have to keep on pushing this movement. There's tremendous potential. Krishna is more powerful than Kamsa. This movement is destined to change human society. We have to keep that as our focus. Then this movement will do its job of pushing back the demonic society. Hare Krishna. Is there any question?
Srila Prabhupada said before 25 years, that in 50 years in the future, all these skyscrapers of modern society will crash down. So that means that it will crash or it will crash by changing
the point. The question is that Prabhupada had said that within 25 years ago, Prabhupada said that within 50 years, the skyscrapers of modern civilization will crash down. Is it physically or how is it? I never heard this quote before. I thought it came in Back to Godhead magazine many years ago when Prabhupada speaks out, when Prabhupada was present, that within 50 years, the cheating of these scientists and bogus religionists will be finished. And Prabhupada also said that this petrol-based civilization will not last very long. It's limited. The petrol-based civilization, oil-based. So that's how I heard it. I didn't hear him saying the skyscrapers will come crashing down. Someone was just telling me in London that the economic situation in the world is similar to that before the great crashes between the First and Second World War. That it's set up for economic collapse because there's so much artificial money. There are many internet companies now that people make billions of dollars just in a few days. But it's all based on some illusory, some artificial transfer of paper money, which isn't actually there. The whole economic system is set up on artificial inflation, that the governments print so many banknotes, but they don't have gold to back it up, and the banks give huge loans, but they don't have money. And if everyone went to the banks and asked for their money out, they wouldn't be able to give it. Because they're giving loans, but they don't have money in order to back it up. So they're just hoping that everyone doesn't run to the bank and take their money out there because they can't give it. That's what happened in Russia. One day they said, don't come to a bank, because if you do, we're not going to give you any money, because we don't have any. People just lost all their money and went to the bank.
So that...
economic business is a very, very shaky position. Of course, it has been the same thing, but any time it can collapse the whole economic system. It's an extremely artificial society in which we bring raw materials from one country to another by ship. You assemble them in one country and then you send them out to another country. Or you bring food from one country to another country. You see, food, the biggest importer of Spanish olive oil is Italy. In Italy they themselves have so many olives. They import so much from Spain. So like that, it's artificial. The natural thing is you food which is grown locally, you eat it. That's all. It's absolutely it. Britain, they produce less than 50% of their own food. They import maybe 70 or 80% of their food. I think I told this last time I was in London, the restaurant manager was telling me he was taking a stock check of the kitchen to see which vegetables need to be bought. And he saw all the boxes of the vegetables. They had so many varieties of vegetables. Not a single one had been grown in Britain. It was all imported. So it's an artificial society. They either have completely artificial cities like Dubai. The whole city is just built next to the sea in the desert. And it's all built up on... There is some oil, not in Dubai itself, in other parts of the United Arab Emirates. But it's a very rich city. It's built up on import and export. Trading. But it doesn't produce anything. There's nothing made there. They don't grow any food. All the food is imported. Everything is imported. It's a very rich city. It's absolutely artificial. How long can it go on? They're so much worried about this collapse. When there's a collapse, people in Bangladesh, they might hear about an economic collapse. Because they're living on the land, growing their own food. They're considered poverty stricken. They have food, clothing, shelter, all of these things. They don't have cars, highways, all these things. They're considered poor. And when the crash comes, how much the Americans will be affected? They can't imagine living without a telephone. Electricity. Their whole society is based on all these things. So many different factors. You have to have electricity, TV, phone, freezer, microwave oven. They require so many artificial things. They have to bring, big cities, they have to bring food from outside. What will they do in the city? There's no petrol. What will they do for food? Or even if they bring wheat, how will you grind it?
Maybe we grind it. You don't know how to cook it. They don't know how to make bread. Bread? What is bread? It's something you buy in the shop like everything else. You don't know how to make it. I wonder, how many people here know how to make bread? No, bread practice. Most people in this country still know how to make bread. In Western Europe, it's, I think maybe in France, no, they also buy in cafes. In Britain, it's unusual. Even when I was a kid, I used to make bread when I was a kid, because I thought the stuff that you buy stinks. I used to make my own bread, but it was what? Why are you wasting time? Buy it in a shop. And so they think, why cook? You buy food from a shop. That's all. You just buy some fast food. Go to McDonald's. The whole of America. Drive into McDonald's. Your engine's still running. You buy something to eat. Pay there. And then you drive off. Eating as you drive. Don't waste any time. I'm going to finish there because I have to go to the Serbians. See if I can get it. See if they'll give me a visa. Is it a charming country? To see what has been. What is the result of President Clinton and Tony Blair's kindness to them? Very kindly bombed them to pieces. I was getting emails from Serbia that bombs are dropping all around us. Please say that I can serve. Go on serving Krishna, either in this body or another body. Hare Krishna. Oh, yes. Yeah, last night I was saying that I had some Mahaprasad from Radha Lamanishwar, yesterday's Mangalarti. Unfortunately, Lufthansa, a highly efficient German airlines, lost my bag. They very efficiently found it now and brought it at 11:30 last night. So, you can give some Mahaprasad from the exquisitely beautiful, merciful Radha Lamanishwar. The only good thing in London is Radha Lamanishwar. I also have some books here. I'm always trying to sell my books. As I said, if you ever get money, print books. So I'm printing my own books.